Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Welcome to Monday. Where did the weekend go? My goodness. Why is it that you know, Saturday and Sunday never seem to take as long to get through as, say, a Monday or a Thursday or even a Wednesday? But the weekend is done. We are back to business here as we are in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians in the study as we go through this book. We just finished Exodus last week, started into 1 Corinthians, and now we are presented with a small dilemma. There was a great idea presented to me last Friday by Pastor Nathan Metter, who said, you know, I'm going on a mission trip. I'm going to be in Alaska. Wouldn't it be so cool to do the Bible study from Alaska? And then he got to Alaska, and then he found out what the phone lines are like in Alaska. So I got a call on his cell phone this morning, and he said our very good friend, very dear friend, Pastor Nabil Noor, is going to fill in for Nathan this morning, and that's who joins us today from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
Glorious morning to you, St. Roland, and to all of our listeners on this lovely, hot, muggy day.
So Nathan is going to owe you a favor, and a big one, I would think.
I don't think so. He's just a dear, dear, dear brother in the Lord. And sometimes the wisdom of God, not like our wisdom, a man proposes, but God disposes. And so there is a reason that God brought this about. Who knows what will be happening today and who needed to hear my voice instead of Brother Nathan. So we'll rely on the wisdom of God.
Well, let me warn you. Nathan did tell me that if he could get things worked out in Alaska, he might call in and make a cameo appearance during this hour.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. He may make an appearance, whether or not that comes off or not, I don't know, but we'll see what happens. But as we pray this morning, let's remember him and all the kids and folks that are with him in Alaska on this mission trip.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, good and gracious Father, this is not what I had on my schedule today. My mind was somewhere else. I was fashioning crosses. But what a blessing to receive the text from Brother Nathan saying, would you cover for me at KFUO? And with humility, I accept this wonderful challenge to continue to proclaim the message of salvation, that the wisdom of this world is foolishness and the strength of God is what we need. We thank you for this opportunity, for my brother Nathan, as well as his team workers who are doing VBS in Alaska. May you anoint their lips and their hands and hearts as they share the words of salvation with young and old, and specifically with someone who has never heard about Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. I ask, O Lord, an extra measure of that wisdom and the spirit that you have given to the author of our text, the Apostle Paul, to this servant of yours who will attempt, without any preparation, to proclaim your word. Open the ears and heart of your people that they might be attentive to this message, and that together they might bring glory and honor to your holy name. To that end, O Father, hear us for the sake of Christ, who is the wisdom of the world, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It works even from Alaska, I am told. Or you can reach us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. Okay, Pastor Noor, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you pick up at verse 6. We'll go to the end of the chapter this morning, but if I could take you just on a side item for just a moment, because I know that the listeners are familiar that you have the Noor tour that goes back to Israel that you lead occasionally, and there was something in the news today about a pastor who had been seized in Egypt, somewhere, I guess, in the Sinai or somewhere, and I was just wondering about your thoughts if you're going to be doing the tour again this year.
I am already, actually. My tour is almost full. We have 35 saints who will be joining me. There's about five other pastors who will be going with me. Am I scared? No. Could it happen? Absolutely. But you know, for us as believers, it's a win-win situation. No matter what happens, we are in the Lord's hands. Persecution will arise. I hope that they will be able to release this pastor, John Louis, but at the same token, we are in the Lord's hands. We are no different than the Apostle Paul and other Christians who suffered persecution, some even beheading or cutting. And so, as a side note, will the tour go on? Absolutely. The only way it wouldn't go on if there's a war that breaks out completely in Israel. But as of right now, that doesn't seem to be of concern.
Verse 6 of 1 Corinthians, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Well, the answer that you gave to that question, Pastor, was about regardless of what happens, we are in God's hands. The world is going to look at you and say, now that's silly. Everybody should be safe, and if it's dangerous, you shouldn't go. And what an immature attitude to say, I'm not worried.
Well, you know, look again at that opening text. Again, and please forgive me, I'm not as well prepared on this one. I didn't even look at the Greek or nothing. I just kind of just open my scripture here. And look what it says. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the ruler of this age who are doomed to pass away. Notice, who is he talking to? Committed Christians, followers of the Savior, those who are mature in the faith, know that this wisdom that was hidden in the past is now has been revealed, is the wisdom of God. And if you read the scripture, 1 John 16, it says, we shall be persecuted. Some will even think by killing us they are doing God a favor. If you understand the scripture, you will understand the truth that these things could happen, whether in this country or not. Now, I have a program on my in my church called Dial a Prayer. It's a message every day online that I put a scripture verse, a little commentary, a little prayer every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And this morning I talked about the deception that is found in this world. Even some Christians deceive other Christians by saying this is the truth. But only if we know the truth that is found in God's Word, and that wisdom that anchors us to that Word, then we don't have anything to worry about. Again, look at John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Listen to these words that Jesus speaks. Let not your hearts be troubled. We can be concerned about the economy, about Obamacare, about being kidnapped by Muslim extremists, about the drought that's going on in the Midwest. All of that, brother. But God is in control. And a mature person who is grounded in the faith says, thanks be to God, I am not he. He is in charge of what needs to be done.
Does maturity have to comport itself to age, or have you met young people who are much more mature than people your my age?
Absolutely. I think this maturity that he's talking about here is the maturity that comes from God. The maturity of knowing who God is. Is there something about being mature as far as age is concerned? Absolutely. The book of Proverbs talks about that. Stand up for the gray-haired people because they are wiser than you are. My dad said to me a long time ago, if I've lived more than you by one day, I'm smarter than you by one day. Because they have gone through that experience. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the wisdom of God. Because you can be an older gentleman or an older young lady. That's an oxymoron, an older lady and a younger lady. But at the same time, if they have not been grounded in the faith, and you take a child who has been raised in the Word of God, he or she is more wiser than the person who's older.
Now, Paul is not suggesting that Christians only need to know the basic message of the cross. Does maturity mean understanding?
Maturity means to rely totally on God. The mature, yet among the mature we impart wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is Christ personified. Proverbs chapter 8. The wisdom calls out. She prepares a meal. She calls out among the people. What is wisdom? Wisdom is having Christ in you. A wisdom of this age. The rulers of this world do not know Christ. We, according to Paul, he imparts that wisdom, the wisdom of God, which was hidden before. Through the incarnation, it was revealed. So what Paul is saying right here then, the wisdom of God that the world does not see. As you said yourself so eloquently a few moments ago, Brother Roland, the world thinks we are foolish to put our trust in God.
Oh, absolutely.
See? So, but they say to you, well, you are an idiot for doing so. But that's not the case. You trust God that he will work through this situation for everything for your good and for his glory.
What is the wisdom of this age based upon?
Knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. To know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he has atoned for you, that he has paid the payment for your sins, that he has redeemed you, he has justified you, he has called you by name, you are his. That's the wisdom of the Lord that he imparts to us. And we need to be quenched with that thirsty water that he gives to us only by spending time in the Word.
Well, I ask because Paul, even in this first verse, is making a distinction between this message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the wisdom
Absolutely.
Of this world. And I'm just wondering, when it comes to the wisdom of this world, what is that based upon as opposed to what the mature person is basing their faith upon?
Well, realize this, the wisdom of the world. What is the wisdom of the world? That which man thinks is so important, to know how to play the stock market, how to be a politician, to do all of that. That's not what Paul is concerned with. Paul is concerned to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. The ruler of this age want the wisdom of this world, to climb the success ladder and the fame and the fortune and the power and the prestige. That's not what we are seeking. We want the wisdom that comes from God, that allows us to see with eyes of faith what the Spirit is doing in our heart. And that is totally different than the wisdom of this age, of the world, excuse me.
St. Paul gets such a bad rap these days. He's accused of inventing. And that's a very carefully chosen word because that's a word used by some in the Jesus Seminar and other academic circles to talk about how he invented significant portions of doctrine and dogma and then referred to it as godly wisdom. Can we trust Paul?
Think for a moment. Your question is, can we trust Paul? Just review for just a moment the life of St. Paul, okay? First, he was a great, educated, mature Pharisee, mature in every essence of theological doctrines. He was taught under the best of the bestest teachers, Gamaliel. He was out taking people prisoners because they followed the way, meaning Jesus. And then he had that wonderful conversion which Christ called him, and he says, you shall be my vessel or instrument to go and preach. And then he went to seclusion for 3 years and studied only with Jesus' word. He studied all of the Old Testament that was given to him prior to that. Then, as he went on from missionary journey to a missionary journey, what happened to him? He was completely beaten, whipped, stoned to death. Why would anyone in his right mind do anything to hurt himself if he did not believe what he's teaching?
It makes no sense.
That's right. See, that's the wisdom of the world. Anybody that says that's invented, that is so stupid, absolutely stupid, that he would put himself on the line even to go to Caesar to be beheaded, knowing full well this is his lot in life. But if you didn't believe it, you would have hightailed it out of there in no time.
Pastor Nabil Noor, our guest this morning from Armour, South Dakota. We are in 1 Corinthians, finishing up Chapter 2. Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Picking up at verse 7 and running through verse 8, Pastor. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, this is the question that seems to be asked quite frequently today. Why is God not plain? Why deal with mystery? Why hide things? Why hide the greater plan of salvation in something as nonsensical as the cross?
I'm not so sure that I can speak for God. Please forgive me. I cannot.
I didn't mean to presume that you should. I just thought I'd ask the question.
I cannot answer God. The one thing that I would share with you, God had a plan. In the fullness of time, God sent forth. Another word from the Apostle Paul in Galatians. He writes, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Why was it hidden all these years? For the fullness of time. You know, he promised to Adam and Eve. Why didn't he do it immediately? He promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and then Moses. You know, you go through all of the history of the Old Testament people. They waited patiently for that day. Even Zechariah talked about, you know, and Anna in the temple. All of these saints waited for God's timing, but at the right time. Why? You'll have to ask him when you get to heaven. I don't have the answer.
Now, some people would find that, and not to be a criticism, but some people would say, well, then, Pastor, that's an unsatisfying... I want to know.
Well,
I want to know. I want to know now.
You may want to know, but I cannot give you an answer that I don't know. Who can know the mind of God? And that comes toward the end of the chapter.
But, Pastor, if it wins people to Christ, why not make up an answer that sounds really good?
Because then I would be a deceiver. I just told you that I did dial a prayer about deceivers who are out there, even among the church. If you want to listen to it, Roland, 605-724-2444. It's called Dial a Prayer.
605-724-2444.
I don't want to just say something to make me look wise. I want to be honest, I want to be candid, I want to be true, and I want to teach the truth, because John chapter 8, if you truly are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, we need to know the truth. I don't know the answer, and to presume that I can take God's place, God forbid that this pastor would elevate himself to know the mind of God. I cannot reveal to you except that which has been revealed to us through the Scriptures. In the book of Revelation, the Lord tells John, anyone who adds to this book all the plagues that he has spoken about will be added to him, and anyone who subtracts from this book, they will be subtracted from his life. We cannot add or take away anything. We are only a proclaimer, and we would only have to say, I don't know. Where it is clear, I will make it clear. But to presume that I know the answer, I apologize. I cannot do so.
Verse 8, I find fascinating, trying to discern what Paul is saying here. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, we have the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the temple officials, all these people who are culturally and financially invested in the temple and the temple system of worship. Is Paul saying that if they would have known that Christ would be raised and Christianity would follow, they would not have crucified him?
I'm not so sure the latter part. I think he's primarily directing this to the chief priests and like Herod and Pilate and those people, had they known who Jesus was as the promised Messiah, they would have never crucified him. Had they realized that he would be the there would be a following afterward, that's a possibility, but I think it's more so that they did not believe that he was the one sent from heaven to redeem mankind. Sadly, it's still evident today in Israel among Judaism, where people are still waiting for the Messiah to come. And they don't believe that he has come and he has atoned for our sins. They do not believe that. And that's what makes it so sad. So he's talking about, had they known who he was, they would have never put him to death.
So, and I think part of your tour, does it not stop at the place where Peter makes the great declaration, you are the Christ?
Absolutely.
If at that moment the disciples had truly understood who Christ was, they would have packed their things and pushed him faster towards Jerusalem, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. Don't you remember a little bit later in the same text, you know, Peter says, you are the Son, and notice this, the living God, versus all of the other deities out in that temple. But then he Peter tries to stop him from going to Calvary. You remember that, correct?
Yeah.
He tries to stop him, and Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have the will of God in mind. And so that's where we really need to understand, you know. But that is the reality of what it is that we need to do so that we might understand the concept of what God has given to us. That's the ways of the world. The ways of the world want to see that which is visible in front of their eyes. You know, people say, well, how soon are we going to get rain? I don't know. I don't know. When will the seed dissipate? I don't know. Why is God doing this? I don't know. But I know God is in total control.
You know, the sad, the truly sad illusion, Pastor, is that man believes he has the power to change anything in history.
That's the sad truth. Absolutely. That is the sad truth. They think with their wisdom they can change the world. And look at the wisdom of the world and what has it gotten us. A mess. Truly a mess. This is what's so special about the text before us here. He says, none of the rulers of this age understood this. You see that, brother?
Yes.
They did not understand it. How many people today do not understand the scripture? They want to elevate themselves above God. They want to tell God and treat him like a puppet. This is what you should do for me to believe in you. But they have not understood it. People of this age still do not understand who he is, what he is, and what he did for us.
With the benefit, though, of being on this side of Christ's resurrection, of having the benefit of Paul and the other gospel writers and the epistle writers and the wisdom that is, we know and understand less today than poor Peter did standing there at the moment he made his declaration.
Repeat that. I missed something here.
We don't seem to be a whole lot. We seem pretty dumb today. We have all this great benefit of the New Testament and all the commentators, the church fathers, all this greater volume of information than Peter ever had. We don't seem any smarter.
Well, to some extent it's true. And I think one of the sad reality is commentators are wonderful. Don't take me wrong. I'm all for that. We have great theologians who are doing these things. But we need to study the Word of God. That's where the truth is found. Commentators, just their ideas, their thoughts, their helpful suggestions. But we want to be grounded in the Word. That's where the truth lies.
Pastor Nabil Noor from Redeemer in Armour, South Dakota, is our guest this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Thank you for listening to KFUO Radio. You listen to us, and we want to hear from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839. Maybe you have a comment about our programming.
I very much appreciate your ministry. You just really have a feel for the audience. I just want to compliment and thank you and let you know I thank God for you.
Call the comment line at 314-505-7839 and let us know about something you like or maybe didn't like on KFUO.
I hope you don't have any more of this Mooney Crooney being at the Moon Contemporary Worship.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand podcasts and you can't call in. So call the comment line at 314-505-7839. Leave a comment for a program or a comment about KFUO in general.
I just really appreciate your program. Blessings to you and yours.
The KFUO comment line.
Taking a break from the broadcast means that during the week of July 16th through July 20, you will be hearing the best of law and gospel programming. If you do have questions or comments about the content, please email me, Tom Baker, lawgospel@lawgospel.com. The next live broadcast will be Monday, July the 23rd. 1 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
On KFUO Radio.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? Vicki Christie and I were on a bus tour in Germany in the year 2000. While we were on our tour, we walked through the Kaiser Wilhelm Kirche in Berlin. This modern church is built in the ruins of an old church bombed in World War II. You can't help but walk around this building thinking how sad that this had to happen. Then you realize that it was our Allied planes that bombed this church, leaving rubble behind. The church ruins stand today to remind the German people, never again. Sometimes it's difficult to determine who is the victim and who is the victimizer in sad stories, especially those of war times. Israel's King David was a warrior king himself, and he also was the author of many of the Psalms. He wrote about being the victim in Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart and visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Those who are victimized need to know that we have a God who rescues, delivers, and saves. As I have often observed, we have no salvation unless we are being saved from something. Lord, save us, we pray, from worrying about who is to blame for what we see as injustice. Instead, help us to learn from past injustices never to find ourselves doing the same things in vindication. For we pray in the name of Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins and heals our diseases. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Our regularly scheduled pastor, Pastor Nathan Metter, is off in Alaska, in the wilds of Alaska, probably being chased by a bear about now, knowing Nathan.
Yeah.
See, I don't make this stuff up. I just call him as I see him. But Pastor Nabil Noor from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota, our guest this morning. And Pastor, are you ready for some phone calls?
Absolutely. All right. Let's begin.
Let's get Linda on the line, who's got a question about verses 7 and 8. Linda, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor Noor. Oh,
good morning, like Saint Linda. Good morning.
I just loved your prayer this morning, and you're always such an inspiration to me. And all of you pastors are, but you're really special. And I just had a question. Could we think for a minute, when you look at 7 and 8 together, could the princes of this world be Satan and his you know.
Absolutely. I mean, you are right on target. You know, Satan always is a deceiver. And I'm glad you called Linda to highlight this. Satan does not want us to know the truth. He will
do anything
to distract us from the truth, to occupy ourselves with the wisdom of this world rather than the wisdom of the Spirit that God has given to us in His Holy Word.
Well, you know what I was thinking? When you look at it like that, it's like if they had known it, if they had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of Glory. That power. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening.
We're here. Okay. We had a little bit of noise on the line, Pastor, while you were answering
that
last question.
Okay, I thought maybe I lost you.
No, I'm still here. I haven't actually been found by Jesus Christ.
If they had known the power that was going to be unleashed on that cross for mankind, they would have never allowed it. They would have never. And since it's unleashed, since it's there, now it's like you say, they try to distract us away from it. That's all they can do now is distract the ministry away from the cross and away from that wisdom that saves us and those things that God has prepared for us, try to distract us away from all that Jesus did for us by putting it on something we can do, or even the subtle things, anything to distract us away from Jesus and Him crucified. So that's all I was, that's the way I...
Stay on, St. Linda. Were you listening earlier in the first portion of the hour? And
yes.
I had spoken about St. Peter. He boldly confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. He is the Son of the living God. And when Jesus says he must, in the Greek, they absolutely have to go to Jerusalem, Jesus says, you can't. Peter says, you can't. And what did Jesus say to him?
I must be about my Father's will.
No, get me behind me.
Oh, yes.
Satan. You see, he didn't say Peter.
Yeah.
He said, get me behind me, Satan.
Satan was trying to stop him. But
that's Satan, right.
Maybe Satan didn't know, though, you know.
He knew. He knew.
What was going to happen.
He knew because he was cursed already. He knew that he was doomed, but he was trying to do everything in his power to avert Jesus Christ from going to the cross. He knew.
Well, maybe he just thought maybe he's going to do something big in Jerusalem, but it looks like here that this was the hidden wisdom of God behind the cross. Maybe Satan did not realize that cross was, you know, what God's will was.
That is correct. And, you know, when I quickly read through this text here this morning, and one of the things that talks about the wisdom of the Spirit, who would have envisioned in his right mind that God would send his son, his only son, to die on an instrument of torture to bring to us triumph? Yes. No one in his right mind would have ever thought of that. No one.
No, but when it's preached to us, we know it's real and we believe it. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
It gives us hope and comfort because we know this is God's plan and His purpose
absolutely.
For saving us.
So absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the only thing that makes sense when you're a Christian.
That is correct. Well, like I said a moment ago, too, I don't know all the answers, but I know one answer. That is, Jesus loved me enough to die for me, and that is sufficient.
That's right. And my sins were bad enough that he had to die.
Amen.
It was enough that he died for me.
Absolutely.
So.
Linda,
Linda, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's continue with the phone callers. Now, Bob is up next, and Bob may be doing something very dangerous here because you've already declared, Pastor, that you're not going to speak for God in his place, but Bob's going to ask you a question about that anyway. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, actually, I'm going to offer a suggestion of why God chose that time. Actually, when you look at the world and how you look at world history, the world was pretty well divided up until the Romans came into power. And the Romans,
absolutely.
And the Romans took a tremendous amount of effort to bring everybody under their control. They built roads, which were primarily for the army, but it would help commerce. It helped Paul with his travels and in his ministry. And so, even though I can't speak for God, that was a good time. I won't say it was maybe the only time, because God could have done things differently, and it could have been any time. But that was a good time for Jesus to be crucified, because he had 500 years of peace, and he had another 300 years or 350 years of peace where the gospel could be proclaimed, and where the church could grow.
Saint Bob, you are so correct. Under the Roman Empire, that what made it possible for the fullness of time, that there was one language. All the roads led to Rome as well as to Jerusalem, and that permitted the gospel not only to begin in Jerusalem, but to spread throughout the known world at that time. Again, that is a great explanation of what God has done, but why did he wait until that specific time? These are things we can allude to and highlight, but God knows his timing better than anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't say, oh God, you should have done 200-300 years before that. He could have, but he didn't.
Bob, thanks for the call this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, my friend. Let's get to some more of our texture. We've got quite a bit of ground to cover yet this hour. However, as it is written, this is beginning at verse 9, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Well, when you take a look at this, about what no eye has seen, what no ear, how does the Spirit inform us of these things? If we don't read the Scriptures, do we just sit there and sort of absorb this by osmosis? The Spirit just pours it in my ear, and then that's the end of it?
No. You need to hear the Word. In Romans chapter 10, we believe as we hear the Word. The Word is preached, we hear the message, and the message brings to fruition that which is heard. We are not robots or a computer that you can push the button and there it comes. We need to come in contact with the Word and the sacraments. Let me share a portion of God's Word. In Luke chapter 16, we have a story of poor Lazarus, as well as a rich man. And we don't even know the name of the rich man, but we do know the name of the poor man, a beggar, Lazarus. Both die. One goes to heaven in Abraham's bosom, the other is in hell. And the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to just wet his tongue with one drop of water. He says, no way, can't do it, no go. But then he says, send somebody from the dead because I have five brothers. And what does he respond? You have Moses and the prophets. Sadly, my brother Roland, is that many people don't come in contact with the Word of God. They don't touch the Word. So many people have Bibles, but they don't read them. So many people buy them and give them as gifts, but sadly they are not studied, meditated upon, investigated, read out loud. You know, when you spend time with God, he speaks to you through that Word. And that's where the wisdom comes from. You cannot receive this wisdom unless you come in contact with the Word. That's why the Lord commanded us, do not forsake coming together. Don't neglect the Sabbath day. There's a lot of benefit to that. One of the things I teach my confirmands is that coming to church is like eating. The problem is we starve ourselves to death spiritually. We might go once every 6 weeks. What happens if you eat only once every 6 weeks?
You're not going to be very healthy, if alive.
That's right. You know, you can live. I mean, you could live for 40, 50 days without any food, but everything that you have, the muscles that you got, are weak. The same things with God's Word. We need to be in contact with it. And as we read it daily, and as we feed on it on Sunday morning, by that truth we are encouraged, exhorted, strengthened, edified, empowered to fight against the devil and all his deceptive ways. If you don't know the truth, you can be taken down. And I see that so often, and I don't know how to convey that to the people. You think of Jehovah's Witnesses who come to people's home and they pick these verses out and they say, oh my, boy, these people know the truth, and all of a sudden they become Jehovah's Witnesses as they have neglected the faith. They are immature. They don't know the scriptures. People today need to be wise in reading, studying, meditating, and let God teach them that which is true in His Word.
One more quick question, then back to the phones, Pastor Noor. Verse 9 is referenced back to Isaiah 64, verse 4.
Correct.
And it talks about God works in our lives and in this world for His glory, not ours. But far too often, do you think we get that backwards?
Oh, how many times do we try to bargain with God and say, aren't you lucky to have me on your team, dear God?
Yes.
How many times we say, just look at all that I am doing. You know? But the reality of the matter is, anytime you look to yourselves, and you highlighted Isaiah 64, which if people understood what that is, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. There's nothing that we can glory about. We glory in Christ and Him crucified. Outside my door for my pastor, I have in Arabic the words, we preach Christ and Him crucified. And right below that, in Hebrew, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm translating straight out of the Hebrew. And so in order for us to really comprehend what God has for us, we need to say, to see what He says in His Word, not in what I say.
Let's go back to the phones and talk with Rick this morning. Rick, good morning. You're on with Pastor Noor. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Roland. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Amen, Pastor Noor.
Good morning, Saint Rick.
Good morning, sir. They're going to be full with people. Hell is going to be full with people that rejected Christ. But the ones that are going to be holding them up is the ones that just flat out neglected Christ. And, Roland, what you spoke about, things that we have so much more commentary than what Paul had, what Peter had back then. But when you neglect all these things, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man will receive nothing. You know, the spirit that you receive in reading the Scripture will trump anything. And
absolutely.
Go ahead, Pastor. So,
there was one other thing.
Sure, Rick, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Roland. The fullness of time. In the Greek, does that come across how I would think it would? And does it trigger anything in your mind to think, well, if that was the fullness of time, are we on the flip side now of the end of times?
Repeat, Saint Rick, the question one more time for me, please, because I'm getting my Greek out right now so I can look at it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, repeat the question. You talked about something with the fullness of time, correct?
Right, when it said God had sent His Son in the fullness of time, how is that explained in the Greek?
Okay.
Because when I read it, it's just like, okay, now we're on the downside, and whatever time we had before Christ, it looks like, well, that's how much time we're going to have after Christ.
Well, your thoughts are accurate in the sense of saying we are on the downside. We are living in the final days. How much time God gives us, that we do not know. But what we do know is that in the fullness of time, when God sent his Son to affirm to us the gift of faith. Now, are we going back about 4,000 years in the sense of waiting for him to be arriving for us? I don't know if that's how much time we have. All I do know is that what the Lord has given to us, that this is now the day of salvation. I don't know what tomorrow may bring to me. I know, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time, when everything was completely right. Okay? When everything was completely right. God, another word to say it, in the fullness of time, when God was about to fulfill his promise. That's how it is in the Greek.
All right. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick. Good to hear from you this morning.
You're welcome.
Picking up at verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now, this is an important point, again, that is missed so often, don't you think, Pastor, that it is God plus, or the Word plus, but the only thing that truly enlightens us is the Spirit of God itself.
Yeah. You know, sadly, now I know you pretty well because we have chatted over the years many times.
Oh,
we
sat
together, we've had cold beer together, we had a bite together, so we know each other very well. But can I sit across from you and can you tell me what is in my mind?
Well, if I guessed Jesus, I'd probably be 50% right.
But 50% is not close, is it?
No. That's only half right.
So,
and half right is only half wrong as well.
Right. Another word, that is an unknown commodity for you, as it is for me. I don't know your mind. I don't even know my wife's mind. I may think that I do on certain events or certain things, but I don't know what she is really thinking unless you ask her. How can you know the mind of God? How can you? In order for us to know the mind of God, is you study his word. I have a story. You have a story. I've shared with my children when I came to this country what made me come. They know the story. They've gone back with me. They met their grandparents. They met their uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces. They know my story. But if I did not share that with them, how will they know? Any more than what we have right here in God's holy word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, that's there is no other way.
There is no other way. God reveals himself to us as we know what it is that he desires for us.
So,
and that is his holy word.
And this is the golden nugget for us today, though there haven't been many others, but this is the one. If left up to human wisdom, no one is going to receive the gospel, and that's why the Holy Spirit has to come and convict our hearts that this is a message of truth.
Absolutely. Who can understand the mind of God unless God instructs him? You know, sometimes we use an idiom in English, oh, the light come on. Well, right? The light come on. Well, what does that mean? All of a sudden we see it. You know, I'm a student of Scripture. I study it every single day. I read it in Arabic. I read it in Hebrew. I read it in the Greek. I read it in English. And you know, I've read the scripture many times, but all of a sudden, something jumps out at me, says, oh my, oh my, I didn't see it before. Why not? I don't know, except that I wasn't at that moment mature enough to receive that words of truth. God feeds us. God gives us the blessed truth in His Word in bits and pieces until we are old enough to eat and to drink this heavenly manna.
Now, we have just a little over 2 minutes. Let me finish the text, and then you can wrap us up for this portion of today's program. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and that is our text for today.
Thanks be to God that we have the mind of Christ. And where is the mind of Christ? In His Word. In John chapter 5, he says, study the scripture, for they testify about me. In order for us to know what God is like, we spend time with him. I have a wedding to do in a couple of, not this weekend, the weekend after. One of the things I shared with the young couple, there was a time you did not know each other. But as you began to date, you spend more time with each other. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? What do you like? What movies you like to watch? Books you like to read? Well, how do you know these things? You ask questions, and they share that with you. Read the scripture. That is the mind of Christ. It has been revealed. It's no longer hidden as in ages past. It has been given to us. If we only take the time to be in the Word, to mind the best of the golden nuggets and read it so that we might be mature, understanding God's mind as He reveals it to us by His Spirit. Because the ways of the world is folly. But God opens our mind to see His will for our lives so that we might know Him as He really is.
Pastor Noor, I'll give you the last 30 seconds. Number one, because you were so gracious to fill in for Nathan Metter today, but also because we've teased a couple of times about this trip to the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. Why don't you quickly give the information out about that if folks want to know more?
If anyone wants to be joining me, the number is 605-724-2489, and we will be departing on October the 22nd and returning on November the 4th. And the price for the whole package is $39.80, including everything, leaving out of Minneapolis.
The Fearless Tour of the Holy Land with Pastor Nabil Noor, our guest this morning from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. Thank you, my friend. An excellent job filling in. I know you didn't have a chance to prepare as much as you like to, but it was a great lesson. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, and God's blessings to all of the saints who have called in, and especially to you and your ministry, Brother Roland. God's peace. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And also with you. We'll be right back with Ask the Pastor. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The way man communicates has changed radically over the centuries. What went from shouting across a field to throwing a stone to maybe tying a note to an arrow became radio. And that became KFUO Radio, and the gospel went global. Now we've entered the age of new media. KFUO is there as well. Like us on Facebook. If you follow us, you'll get announcements, program audio, staff photos. Everything you want to know about KFUO is available on the Facebook page. KFUO Radio on Facebook. Like us today.
Stop, call or click before you dig. Dig safely.
Underground utilities are everywhere, even in your yard. No matter how small the job, know the dangers before you dig. Call 1-800-DIG-RIGHT or 811 or click on mowonecall.com. Digging without knowing where it's safe to dig can cause tremendous damage, even loss of life.
Stop, call or click before you dig. Dig safely, it's the law.
Call or click before you dig.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Today, the president is in Ohio, which will likely be one of the most fiercely fought over states in the presidential election. And he's going to say that rival Mitt Romney's tax proposals would send jobs overseas, something Obama's campaign has been saying about Romney and his time at Bain Capital. The Obama campaign has suggested that Romney hasn't been telling the truth about his time at Bain. And now Romney has struck back on the Fox News Channel.
I think when people accuse you of a crime, you have every reason to go after them pretty hard. And I'm going to continue going after him.
The president was asked on CBS this morning about the negative ads his campaign is running. And he says they're running positive ads, too, that talk about his positions on the issues.
The more detailed we get into what he's saying and what I'm saying, I think that serves this Democratic process well.
But the president says the positive ads just don't get the space in the news. We're not spending as much these days. Retail spending is down 0.5% from May to June. It's not much, but Chief Economist Michael Nemira, who works for the shopping center industry, says
the real story is the widespread weakness, not only in June, but now over the last 3 months.
We're spending less on cars, furniture, appliances, among other things. Stocks fell after the report came out. The Dow has been down in the past few minutes about 32 points. A new survey finds that families are doing more to save some of that money they've been spending on college, choosing less expensive schools, having the students live at home. The findings are from an annual study released by Sallie Mae, the country's largest student lender. In Chicago, three teenagers are charged with first-degree murder in the beating death of a 62-year-old man after they posted a video of the beating attack on Facebook, according to authorities. The teenagers are due in court today. This is AP Radio News.